God brought you here for a reason, and that is to learn about Him, to know the way of truth. My brothers and sisters, God is no respecter of persons. You know, when we get to heaven, there will be a great disappointment. The prostitute that never repented will not be disappointed. The armed robber will not be disappointed. It is the churchgoer carrying Bible, coming to bride assembly, that will be disappointed. Because God will never lower His bar, His standard for anybody. Some of us take our salvation nonchalantly. Doesn't mean anything to us. The two altars of worship. There are only two ways through which you can approach God. One is the right way, and the other is the wrong way.
Feeling so much better.
I want to appreciate my daddy in the Lord. He has become more than my daddy in the Lord. He has even become my father. There's something I've discovered so much, that I've discovered about him. He believes more in me than I believe in myself. I started working with him in June, and of course I was reluctant of, you know, accepting the position to be his PA because I felt I could not even do it. But he believes more in me, he encourages me, and that means a lot to me. You always teach us that when you lift up somebody, God will lift you up. So may the Lord continue to lift you up in Jesus' name. And I want to thank all the ministers, all my elder ones, my elders who are always supporting me. I pray that God will keep increasing his grace upon you all in Jesus' name. Before we sit down, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Please, I'm a learning preacher, so just bear with me. However my sermon comes, the pastor would always do justice to it, anything I say. When I shared with our pastor the title of my teaching this afternoon, in fact, he started talking and going deeper than me. I was just looking, I said, Daddy, please come and take this sermon yourself. So let's say my own part will be part one. My own will be beginner's class, but his own will be the advanced one. Praise God. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We will be seated. The title of my exhortation is The Two Altars of Worship. The Two Altars of Worship. I'm constrained to give this exhortation based on things I've been seeing. I discovered that many people come to this church, the Pride Assembly Church, and at times they'll stay for years, you know, stay for a long period of time, and yet they don't know the purpose for which God brought them here. In fact, some can even end up becoming ministers in this same church, yet they don't know the purpose for which God brought them here. And one of the words of wisdom I love so much says that where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, you are bound to abuse that thing. So I discover, here am I. Here's another person in the same field, in the same ministry, in the same church. But we seem to be bearing different fruit, and we seem to be having different character. In fact, we seem to be seeing different things. And yet, we are supposedly receiving from one pulpit. You know, just like the sister that was on Facebook last week, which I saw about 32 minutes video. You are rebuked for doing something wrong. Instead of you to humbly repent, you are coming to say you have gained your freedom. That shows she was here for a long period of time and she never understood the purpose of this ministry. And the funny thing is, a lot of people sitting here today are that way. At times, we are made to believe that it's even those that watch us online that know the reason why God brought them here. We just come here, we have more than dancing in Bride Assembly. Thank God I love to dance, so nobody will say it's because you don't dance, that's why you're talking this way. We have more than singing and dancing in Bride Assembly. We have more than prophecy and prophetic actions in Bride Assembly Church. That is more the primary purpose, the primary reason for being here. Praise God. God brought you here for a reason, and that is to learn about him, to know the way of truth. My brothers and sisters, God is no respecter of persons. You know, when we get to heaven, there will be a great disappointment. The prostitutes that never repented will not be disappointed. The armed robber will not be disappointed. It is the churchgoer carrying Bible, coming to Bride Assembly, that will be disappointed. Because God will never lower his bar, his standard for anybody. When the Bible teaches us that some of us take our salvation nonchalantly, doesn't mean anything to us. The two altars of worship. There are only two ways through which you can approach God. One is the right way, and the other is the wrong way. There are only two ways through which you can approach God. One is the right way, and the other is the wrong way. Only two ways to worship God. You can either worship him the right way or worship him the wrong way. And this worship must be done on either of these two altars. There are two altars of worship. And everybody that proclaims himself a Christian, everyone that says he's serving God, worshiping God, you must worship on either of these two altars. One, the altar, the acceptable altar of fruits. That's the first one. And the second one is the unacceptable altar of error. I'll take it again. It's an exhortation, but it will come in a teaching form. So please just bear with me. The acceptable altar of truth and the unacceptable altar of error. Every worship to the living God must be done on either of these two altars. I'm not talking of those that are outside the Christian faith. I'm talking of those that are worshiping the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim. Those that proclaim themselves to be servant of Christ. Your worship must be on either of these two altars. Is that your worship is on the altar of truth or on the altar of error? Of course, when I mean worship, you know I'm not talking of singing, just like we sang. I'm talking of a walk with God. I'm talking of, you know, when you say I'm serving God, I'm walking with God. That's what I mean by your worship. A walk with God. W-A-L-K. It can neither be done on either of these two altars. The first worship we see in the Bible is in the book of Genesis 4, verse 4 to 7, the story of Cain and Abel. Here are two people approaching the Lord God Almighty. Here are two people coming to worship God, coming to worship before him. The stories in the Bible are given to us to learn from. The two of them came to God, but God did not accept the two worship. Praise God. God did not accept the two worship. It is not every worship that God accepts. It's not every worship. And I always love to say, because if you look and study deeply, God will grant you revelation. Cain was very sincere. Cain was a believer, a complete believer. It is not Satan that Cain went to worship. It is God. So if it's today, we'll say Cain was a Christian like you and I. In fact, Cain is a member of Bright Assembly Church. Cain approached God just like Abel approached God. But what will make God reject the worship of Cain and accept the worship of Abel? That is what we want to see today. It is not every worship. Note that God accepts. I'm a Christian. I'm working with God. I know I serve my God. I know I work with God. No. It is not every worship that God accepts. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, in vain do they worship me. It is not every worship, no matter how sincere. It is not every worship that God accepts. The only worship he accepts is the worship on the altar of truth. The only worship God accepts is the worship on the altar of truth. Brothers and sisters, everything does not go in Christianity. God has a choice. He has a preference. He get waiting God like and he get waiting you know like. God has a choice. God has a preference. It is not everything that is pleasing before him, no matter how sincere. Romans 12 verse 2. Let's read Romans 12 verse 2. There's a statement I want to borrow there. And be not conformed to this word, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the last phrase is my statement. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a will. God has his will. He has his choice. There are things, it's not everything that he's going to accept. It's not everything that is pleasing before him. We see that also depicted in the story, in the parable of the marriage feast in Matthew 22. The wedding of the king's son, the marriage feast. Matthew 22. We know the story. Let me read verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And then from verse 8, then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidding were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now look at something. Grace, 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 grace. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest in either not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. What did he say? Then said the king to him, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God has a choice. You can't just worship him anyway. You can't just worship him anyhow. Your worship must be on truth. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. What is faith? Revelation. Revelation of the truth. By revelation of the truth, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We must worship him on the altar of truth. Praise God. In order, you see, brothers and sisters, there are a lot of voices in the land today preaching the gospel. May God make you only pay heed to the voice of God. Not everybody called apostle, pastor, no matter how anointed, is the voice of God to your generation. In fact, 99% of voices we hear today preaching the gospel are false voices. 99% of voices we hear today preaching the gospel are false voices. That is why they mess up the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, say something. In order to have a successful walk with God, there are two principles, two ingredients you need in your life. And we see that in Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5 says what? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. If you want to walk with God, brother and sister, take away your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't begin to say, well, of course, this is okay before me. I mean, there's nothing wrong in this. No. Remove your understanding and seek God's understanding on how to walk with him. If you lean on your understanding, you will miss God 1,000 miles. Lean not on your own understanding. And the second ingredient, submit to his word completely. Those two. If you can have these two ingredients, then we can build an altar of fruit that will be acceptable unto God. Somebody say hallelujah. If you can have these two ingredients, it is leaning on your understanding that will make a sister say, I don't see anything wrong with trousers. Let's be very, very frank. There are some people here that don't see anything wrong with it. But it is not your seeing anything wrong with it or you're not seeing anything wrong with it that matters. It is what does God think about it. It is what does God think about it. It is not what is fine before you or what is not fine before you. It is what God wants. That is why thousands of maids we gather and only Esther was crowned as the queen. Why? Esther 2:15 to 17. Why is it so? The Bible says every maid, when the time came for the maid to appear before the king, they leaned on their own understanding. They chose what they wanted. Okay, this is how I want to appear before the king. But only Esther didn't lean on her understanding. The Bible says she chose what the king's chamberlain appointed unto her. You don't walk with God with your own thinking. Why? God is the author of salvation. Salvation is his plan, is his program. Were you there before the foundation of God when God was writing the script? The script of salvation was finished before the world began. Were you there then? Psalm 3 verse 8 says that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And the blessing is upon thy people. Salvation originates from God. He's the one that knows what is fine and acceptable before him. Salvation is his plan, his program, and his script. He did not take counsel with any man when he was writing, this is how the salvation of mankind will be. So why do we think when we want to walk with him, we will inject our own mind? You if you want to have a successful walk with him, just make sure that you are not leaning on your own understanding and you are submitting completely to his word. That is the only way you can build an altar of truth unto him. The foundation of every altar of error is because man is thinking, no, no, no. This is not, I mean, this is how I want to serve God. Let's see something in the story of Cain and Abel. I don't know. The story of Cain and Abel teaches me so much. You can't talk of salvation without referring to this story. It's a very, very interesting story. Now, we always say that by faith, the Bible says it, Abel offered unto God. But do you know something, that even God himself came down and spoke to Cain? It's in the Bible. Don't look at me as if I'm speaking Greek. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 4, from verse 4 to 7. And Abel, he also brought up the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. He did not accept. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, this is God himself coming to preach to Cain. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? What else does Cain need? Here is God talking to him. Here is God pointing him back to the truth. That if you want to walk with me, if you want me to accept your offering, your worship, do it well. Build it on the altar of truth. Somebody might be wondering, what is truth? What is truth? Truth is simply the word of God. And we see that in John 17, 17. Truth is simply the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. Your worship must be by the truth, on the altar of truth. And if God rejects your worship, he declares you unrighteous before him. It was the offering of Abel. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, and he obtained witness that he was righteous. When God accepts your worship, he declares you righteous. But when he rejects your worship, he declares you unrighteous. For you to be accepted before him, I keep repeating and emphasizing, your worship must be on the altar of truth. So what altar, or which altar, are you worshiping God from? Somebody. Which altar are you worshiping God from? God is a very organized God. He doesn't do things zigzagly or haphazardly. He's very organized and he's very straightforward. That is why God gives formulas for whatever he wants to do. How many of us know what a formula is? Okay, who wants to help us? A sister is raising her hand there. What is a formula?
It's a step to get a result.
God bless you. There could be no better explanation. A step to get an intended result, a result. That means when the formula is absent, you will not get that result. To guarantee the success of man in any field, God places formulas. That is why, for instance, if you talk of prosperity, in this ministry, they've taught it over and over again, that there is a formula for prosperity. The first formula is what? It says, that thou mayest prosper as thy soul prospereth. So if your prosperity is to come from God, the first thing is the prosperity of the soul. You must seek first his kingdom. And then it doesn't end there. We talk about giving and sowing to the advancement of the gospel. Now, those are formulas for prosperity. But for salvation also, there are formulas. And God is bound by that formula. We always say, Brother Cosmo said that God is only sovereign. He's not more sovereign to his word. Or how does he put it? God can never be more sovereign than his word. Whenever God puts forth a formula, he is bound by that formula. Now, walk with me. We know the story of Noah. God was going to destroy the world and save Noah and his family in his own days. He gave him a formula. The formula that God gave Noah is not receive the Holy Ghost. The formula that God gave Noah is not repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. If Noah had come with that formula, that God did not give him, he would have perished with the flood, even if he had excess Holy Ghost. The formula that God gave him was what? Build an ark. I don't know if somebody understands what I'm saying. No matter how holy, if not saying, no, Lord, I want to fill me with the Holy Ghost, leave this ark. Father, let me repent and be converted and this. Even if he baptizes in the name of Jesus 1,000 times, it is not the formula that God gave him. The formula that God gave him was what? Build an ark. And Noah followed that formula and he was saved. God was going to save his children from Egypt. He gave a very funny formula, a shepherd with a stick. A shepherd with a stick. The Egyptian empire of the days of Moses is like when you combine Russia, America, the European Union together and make them just one nation. And then one man is king over them. Pharaoh was seen as a god. Yet, here's somebody coming. The Lord God of the Hebrews said, you should let my people go. Before Pharaoh. But that was the formula. Did God bring them out? God did. God did not tell Moses, go and gather soldiers. No. He said, go before Pharaoh and take that stick in your hand. God has a formula. Now, whenever we miss this formula, we miss God. That is why you must make sure that these two ingredients are not missing in your life. Don't ever come to God by your own thinking. Don't ever come to God by your own reasoning. Come to Him, trusting in Him and not leaning on your own understanding. And then when He gives forth His word, submit completely to it. When you come to Him that way, at times you might even look odd. You might look odd. You will even be odd. But that is the way that God has chosen for salvation. Praise God. The altar of truth. Our worship must be on this altar. And that's the problem with Christianity today. One faith, thousands of denominations. One faith, one Bible, different beliefs. It's because many people are following Christ by their own thinking, leaning on their own understanding. It is not news that many GOs will be first class candidates of hellfire. It is not news, it's a fact. It's a sincere fact that many GOs, many men of God, will occupy front row in hellfire. If you don't believe me, when you get there, you confirm. May you not go there in Jesus' name. Because they're following God by their own thinking. Yet, I'm not saying they're not sincere, but they're following Him based on their own thinking. A man of God will become a pastor and ordain his wife because he feels nothing is wrong with it. You show him from the Bible that a woman should not be a pastor. He doesn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, she can talk. Who else should be a pastor? Pastor misses his own thinking, his own understanding. It doesn't matter. No. It's the art that God looks at. His own thinking, his own understanding. No matter how sincere that person is, that worship is unacceptable before Him, before God. That person is building on the altar of error. Satan knows this. That is why Satan fights the truth. Satan is the enemy of righteousness. Don't forget, righteousness can only be achieved or received when your worship is on the altar of truth. The repercussion or the fruit becomes righteousness. When your worship is on the altar of error, you receive unrighteousness. Satan knows this truth, knows this fact. That is why there's nothing Satan fights more than the revelation of the true word of God. From the history of mankind, from the beginning of mankind, Satan has been fighting the revelation of truth. We see it in the garden. God gave His word. the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, the day you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. But Satan came again, bringing forth what? Error. You shall not surely die. And then he was able to convince the woman, convince her and confuse her. And then she partook of that error. And what did it produce? It separated us completely from God. The scripture we read, as our text says, buy the truth and sell it not. Many of us are not valiant for the truth at all. What excites many people seated here today is not the truth that is preached in this sanctuary. Many of us, how do I tell? I'm not seeing vision, I'm telling you what I see. What excites many of us in Bride Assembly is not the truth. In fact, some of us have even concluded long ago that the true members of this church are online members. Because the truth shocks them, it excites them. But most people seated here in this congregation today, the truth from this altar doesn't excite you. You are not valiant for it at all. You are not valiant for it. It doesn't affect you. You are just here that, Father, solve my problem. Bless me. Let me prosper. Let me build house. Let me buy a car. Let me marry. Period. Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, he said we have all men most miserable. Let me rephrase it. If it's only for material prosperity you come to Bride Assembly, you are of all men most miserable. You have all men most confused. God brought you here so that you can know the truth. You don't understand the impact of truth. John 8:32. Let's read it. John 8:32. I'm saying this so that we can wake up. That you come to Bride Assembly has not given you automatic ticket to heaven. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. This is not freedom from sickness. If you read further, you discover he's speaking of righteousness and unrighteousness. You can read it. The truth will make you free from unrighteousness. That you come here is not an automatic ticket to heaven, but it's a grace, a privilege that you came across this truth. But what is your reaction to what God has offered you? I'm talking now. Some people are sleeping. But let the prophet handle the microphone. Sleep will automatically disappear. So did that person come here because of the word of God? Is that person valiant for the truth? Sometime ago in 2013, 2014, I was in my very powerful prayer group then, Contenders Prayer Group. Very powerful group. The old Contenders, you are nodding your head. The old, very powerful. But I discovered my own focus was changing. My focus was changing from the reason God brought me here. And to the glory of God, or to my shame, I would say I was becoming more carnal. And that was because my attention was shifting from the word of God to anointing and gifts. But God being merciful gave me a revelation that helped me. In that revelation, I was in Voice of God recordings, Voice of God office, their former office in Ikeja, Voice of God that produced the sermon books of Ilan Brown. And I was in that their bookstore that day, and I was packing books. Then the manager turned to me and said, you are getting spiritual power. You are getting spiritual power. I woke up from that dream and I knew the meaning of that revelation. Immediately, my attention was drawn back to the word of God. I pulled this force and started feasting on the truth that were being fed in this place. And I started coming back in line with God. All those while I thought I had Holy Ghost. But when I started studying, I discovered that whatever I had was not Holy Ghost. Even if I had something. Continued following the word of God until 2015, December 10. Then I had another encounter that now I can boldly say that is the original baptism of the Holy Ghost. Before that time, I was speaking in tongues. So I mean genuine tongues. I'm not talking of denominational man-made tongues. Gift, anointing. Of course, people in old contenders, you know what I'm saying. Why am I saying this? Your attitude to the truth matters. Don't let the truth, knowledge of the truth, can make you free from unrighteousness. Only the knowledge of the truth can take you to heaven. No matter how much God uses you, you won't be the first. He used a donkey in the Bible. But to walk with him, there are principles. Your worship must be on the altar of truth. How valiant for the truth are you, brother and sister? Many of us end up using our conscience to regulate righteousness. We use our conscience and sincerity to regulate righteousness. As long as I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm not wickeding anybody, I'm not fornicating, I'm not committing adultery, the Bible says God is greater than your conscience, greater than your heart. Who told you it is your conscience and your heart that will regulate whether you are righteous before God? The only regulator of righteousness is the word of God. The truth is the only thing that can regulate righteousness. 1 Samuel chapter 15. The Lord sent Saul a message. Go, I remember what the Amalekites did to my children when they were coming out of Egypt. Now, go and utterly wipe them up. He said, spare not young, spare not old. Spare no ass, spare no fatling, spare nothing. Exterminate them completely. That was the express word of God to Saul. Saul, being a very good man. This God self, why will you ask me to kill everybody? Is it not God that created everybody? Why will he kill everybody? You mean even children? You mean even these animals that we can use to offer sacrifice unto you? He leaned on his understanding and did not obey the word of God. Let's read it. Let's read it so that somebody will know why you must buy the truth, why you must receive the truth and not sell it. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how we laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. This is the command. And utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Avila until thou comest to Shur that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. It's only one person. It is only one person that is saved. Only one person. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Brothers and sisters, you will be the judge. Did Saul obey God? He obeyed God incompletely. Incomplete obedience is no obedience at all. That is why the Bible says that whoever is guilty in this little point is guilty of all. But look at Saul. See his own reaction. Let's continue reading. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from following me and had not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for these people speared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and this evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the sheep of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to do what? To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Verse 22 and 23 is my emphasis. And Samuel said, As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Because you have rejected the truth, the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Christianity, no matter how much God blesses you, because you have rejected his word, he has also rejected you for being king. No matter the anointing that God gives us, no matter the healing and the deliverance, for his salvation, if we reject his formula, his truth, his word, we will never enter that kingdom. Our kingdom, our faith is a knowledge-based faith. The key to this kingdom is revelation. You must know. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That means if you don't know the truth, you will not be free. There is no excuse for ignorance. You must know. It is only those that know that God that shall be strong and do exploits. You must know. This faith is a knowledge-based faith. Not everything goes. Up till now, people are still arguing water baptism in the name of Jesus. And you ask them to show you otherwise. Where else was baptism done other than in the name of Jesus? Show us in the Bible, and they cannot show you anything. Leaning on their own understanding. Rejecting the word of God, like Saul did. At the end, they'll tell you it doesn't matter. It's not water baptism that matters.